Hello, everybody. We're gathered here for another session of Mindfulness for Beginners in English conducted by Nisaran Vanil. This is the 162nd session of Mindfulness for Beginners. Before we start, I have to apologize. My camera seems to have an error today, so I am unable to switch my camera on. So I will have to host without it. I would like to warmly welcome Venerable Homagama Dhamma Kusala Thero for this session. We'd also like to welcome everybody who's joining via Zoom, Facebook live stream, and those that might be watching later. Our program will commence as usual with the in-session practice of mindfulness, meditation guided by Venerable Bante, and we will follow the Dhamma talk for today. Finally, we will be moving on to the reports and Q&A if we have time. And to begin today's session, I would now like to invite Venerable Abante to start the in-session practice of mindfulness.
Thanks, Sonali. Hello, everyone. Today, I thought of doing an activity which is related to the topic that we are discussing. For this, you need a piece of paper and a pen. If you can collect those things and turn on video, then we can start today's activity. Okay, everyone, I think you should be ready to start today's activity. You just need a piece of paper and a pen. And this one is related to the topic that we are discussing. I think we started last week and it's a continuation. So this is a fun activity which we can use to reflect on our situation. Now, remember the topic, we are trying to control, conquer things. That's the topic that we are discussing. The more you try to control, more desperate you'll become, right? So that's the idea. Now this activity, it is called the circle of control. That's the name of the activity. And you just need to take a piece of paper and draw two circles like this. Two circles centering using the same center like this. They have the same center, different radius, larger one and a smaller one. Now this is what we are going to do. We are going to reflect on our situation, let's say our daily life, the things that we worry about, the problems that we have, those type of things, our daily life, our daily situations, we can reflect. And after reflection, we are going to categorize each of these things into three different categories. The first one would be out of the two circles. It says out of control. It's out of your control, right? Then the second one, inside the larger circle, outside the smaller one, and it says partly in your control. Then the third one, inside the circle, both circles, it says in your control. So you can see three categories. Now, usually, we tend to worry about things that are out of our control. Of course, we have no ability to, you know, change them, but still we worry. Then there are certain things that are partly in our control, due to some, you know, situation or some other person, that type of things. Then there might be other things that could be under your control. Right, so we can categorize into three, these three, and see which categories that they go under. Right, you have to think about your life, your situation, your worries, problems, and see how they sort out. Clear, right? We can take some time to reflect and write. Others too can turn on the video and join more actively if you are willing. Some of the things I find it difficult to figure out which category. Yeah, it feels like it's under my controls. But might not be. If you are done, we can move into the discussion and you can share what you wrote and which categories that they are. Basically, what you worry about, the concerns that you have. Yes, Chamari.
Avsarai Bhante. I went straight to what's within control. So tried checking what is out of my control. But before it was forming, there were things that I could, not sure, but I feel like practicing or not is in my control. Helping others or not, my control. Within my control, understanding self or others or not is in my control. Responding to things that happen to me, they are in my control. Changing beliefs when needed to, that's in my control. Peace in mind or not, those things are, I felt, in my control. Then I had not sure where it is going to go, partly in my control, work boundaries, keeping to work boundaries, partly in my control, physical health. And then I put mental health as well, because it felt like it's partly in my control. Then outside of my control, others' decisions and actions, and then world peace.
Yeah, that's nice. Now, I also thought that most of these problems, as a solution, we can practice. That's in our control, right? So that goes under the first category, the very very first circle, things that are in our control. So you can practice. That's a choice that you make. And that's in your control. And as you mentioned, certain things, how we respond to situations, maybe sometimes it feels like partly in our control. Yeah, we get too emotional, we get dragged into a situation. But most of the time, it could be in our control. And one more important thing that you mentioned is health. Health, you can do your part, right? You can exercise, you can eat healthy, those things are valid, but still there's a certain part of it that's out of our control, right? So if it's totally in our control, we would dare not to get sick, right? But it happens. Then, as you mentioned, I also have, like, you know, these days they are talking about Third World War, right? So those things basically out of our control, right? Then natural disasters, certain things like that. There's very little that you can do, basically out of our control. Then let's say somebody else's health, right? Like sometimes you worry about other people, right? Their safety and things like that. If you have children, let's say they go out of the home, that safety, and you'll be worrying till they come back. Which category do you think that would go? Anupama, yes.
Apologies, Panthe, can you repeat that question again?
Let's say children, your children, yes. Their safety, things like that. You sometimes worry about their safety, you
yes.
know. Yeah.
I think partly
partly control.
Yes.
You can do certain things.
Yes, but beyond that, it's other factors come in. Their decision making, the environments they are going to be in where I won't be around to help or assist them. So I would say partly in my control.
Right.
Also, Bunny,
yeah.
Interestingly, you mentioned world wars, peace, and environment, like the climate change. I put it within partly in my control. I think I took it from the perspective of what I can do as an individual to make a difference. For example, reduce plastic use, recycle things, maybe comes under in, you know, helping with the climate change. World wars and peace is a bit more complex, but I think certain political choices we may make when we vote, I may have an indirect effect. So because of that, I put it within partly in my control.
Right. So that's a very nice way to look at them. Like, you know, if everybody in this world behaves, then of course we can take care of the nature, you know, like pollution and stuff, especially being conscious of your usage. That's something we can do. Even I think a couple of weeks ago, we discussed in one of the children's sessions just to make sure that they are aware of their own usage of plastic and stuff, right? Every time we get a present or something like that, we create those packaging material are wasted, right? So that's a positive attitude towards such issues like weather, climate change, and world peace. Those type of things we can impact as an individual, probably indirectly. But if everybody thinks like that, then of course it would make a real difference. Samantha, yes.
I'm sorry, Bante. I had just had a couple of things. I mean, I like to share. This week was my mum's health. She was ill, so I found that was out of my control. And secondly, I wasn't sure. Partly in our control, my control would be how I deal with it. Like I had to call the doctor. How I dealt with the situation. So I had to call the doctor and find a solution, how to solve her issue. And thirdly, what was the third one? What's the third one? In my control would be to accept how I respond to my feelings about the situation, accepting that this is part of, you know, like what Buddha said, you know, if you're part of the sickness, ill health, et cetera, that acceptance and not proliferate the mind. And another example that was staring out was again what everyone was saying, the wars. That was definitely something that's out of my control. How I can deal with it, I was thinking, Bante, going on peace marches, making my voice heard, you know, peacefully. And thirdly, what's the third one? In what I can do, yeah, to help, to show compassion, and how I can help those in need in the wars, how I can get them back, help them, make them, you know, respond. Yeah, that was it, Bante.
Yeah, that's a very nice reflection. Because you recently had this incident, so it's closer to you, and you can You can reflect and see which parts that are in your control. As you said, that sickness might not be in your control, but you can do certain things like getting doctors' opinions and things like that. That could be right in your control or partly in your control. Then probably you mentioned that not to proliferate. That's in your control, is it?
Yes. If I'm mindful, I watch my mind and not let the emotions take over me. Like I would feel sad and sort of say, what is happening? Is this going to, where would this lead? So then I would just, if I'm not mindful, it'll just go entangled in that emotion. So I would see how what my mind state is, accept it, and then either let it go, focus on the breath, calm myself down, or contemplate on the Dhamma. This is of one of the five, you know, what Buddha said of the five reflections, the nature of conditioned things, impermanent, something like that.
Yep. So when it comes to such situations, our thoughts, emotions, and the mind's proliferations, they could be like basically like out of our control, but still we have a certain part which is under our control, that is being mindful of them. How you respond to them, or how you deal with them. Right, so you can see it's natural that when it comes to such situations, the mind proliferating and, you know, becoming emotional, you know, those type of things are natural. It is basically like, you know, out of our control, like mind's weather, right? Depending on the situation. But certain things like being mindful could be under your control. So that's a tricky one. I thought of, like, you know, practice part would be under our control, but the mind's state, the inner weather could be out of our control, depending on the situation, due to the sickness, things like that. So that's a tricky one. But of course, there's a part that you can do, which is being mindful. And how you respond to those things.
Yeah, thank you, Pam. Thank you, Sadhu.
Anybody else? I think we are already past our time. Any other comments? If you have, we can take a couple of minutes.
Just a quick comment, Bhante. For the category of out of control, I put other people's responses, behavior, thinking patterns, and speech. That's what I included in there.
Yeah, that's a good one, because usually we always entangle in other people's matters and think that, you know, they should behave this way, they should respond this way, and we worry about these things a lot, right? That happens. But when you dig deep into these worries, you basically realize that you have done your part, but it's totally out of your control. So what can you do, right? So these type of categorizing will shed more light onto it. And sometimes we realize we are basically worrying about something that is totally out of our control, right? Sometimes we realize it's partly in our control. Really only like couple of things, only few things that are under our control. So these type of reflections are valid, important, and they will tell us which things that we should focus on more, which things that we should channel our energy. Otherwise, we are worrying about things that are out of our control, and, you know, we can't really do something about it. Basically, instead of complaining about the darkness, light a candle. That's the idea. So it's good to, you know, reflect on our situations and see which things are under which categories. Right. So that's the idea. I hope you got it. With that, I think we can move forward, Sonali.
Yes, thank you, Bhante. That was a very interesting exercise, which I probably will be doing with my children as well. So next on the agenda is the Dhamma talk. So the topic this week is the same topic as last week. We will continue with it. It's desire. So I would like to warmly welcome Bhante, invite Bhante to start this topic.
Okay, everyone, we'll take some time to discuss the continuation topic from the last time. And you might remember the quote and the topic that we had. It's about, you know, trying to conquer, trying to control things. And it becomes a like that he that trying to do such things, trying to control everything, trying to conquer everything, it becomes a trap that'll catch the spider. That was the idea, the web that'll catch the spider. So more you try to control, more you try to conquer, more desperate you'll become, more agitated you'll become. Right, so that was the topic from last time, and I think we discussed into this topic a fair amount. Today also we'll take some time to, you know, get few more thoughts on the same topic. Now, let's say, based on the discussion that we had earlier in the activity, we in our lives also we have certain things that we worry about. These things, some of them, as you mentioned, some of them are under our control. We can do certain things, like, you know, meditation and exercising, eating healthy, those type of things we can do. They'll change the situation for better. They'll change our mind, they'll change the health of our body, they will help. But there are certain things which are basically partly in your control. For example, that other people's safety and things like that. Sometimes we worry about family members, you worry about your children. And some of the work-related matters, we worry about them a lot, right? So when it comes to those things, we can do certain things. Certain things are under our control, and we can do something about them. But certain things are out of our control. For example, work-related matters, you can do your part, and you can hope for the best, but sometimes there might be colleagues who might respond in a different way. So you can't really help much when it comes to those things, right? So certain things are partly in our control. We can, of course, do our part and leave the rest to the nature or to the flow of things, right? And the thirdly, there might be some things that are fully out of our control, but still we worry about them. We worry about, you know, certain incidents, like, you know, natural disasters. We worry about them. Maybe accidents and things like that, you worry about them, right? So basically, you can't do much when it comes to these things. So it's always a nice way to reflect on these things and see which categories these things go under and what are the things that we can do to help a situation. What are the things that we should let go and just, you know, focus our energy into a different channel. Right, so that's the basic idea of the activity as well. So you can see, if you try to conquer, control everything, then it's not helping. It's not helping. Mostly we feel this illusion of control. In our mind, this illusion is there. We feel like these things are under our control. That is the illusion, right? You, without you even knowing, unconsciously you worry in the back side of your mind. In the back end, you keep worrying about them. You keep worrying about them and, you know, think about them again and again. But still, when it comes to such things, there's very little you can do, right? So you can see what these things are and how these things evolve, right? So this illusion is there in our mind. In our mind, it feels like everything is under our control. I am responsible for everything. I should do something about these matters. That way, there's this illusion in our mind. It's the basic reason is that we are the center of this universe. In our mind, in our own torturous mind, we are the center of this universe. We think that everything is under our control, everything is our responsibility, and there's no end to our worry. You worry about world matters, you worry about the third world war, you worry about other things, right? You worry about the environment. That way you worry. Because in our mind there's this illusion kind of a thing, the illusion of control. It feels like we are responsible. It feels like we are the creator of this entire mess, right? So that's the wrong view. If we feel like we are the creator, if we feel like we are responsible for everything, then that's the wrong view, right? Because that's an illusion. Basically, majority of these things are out of our control. There's very little we can do. But in our mind, we feel like it's under our control. In our mind, it feels like we are responsible. In our mind, it feels like we are the creator of this entire thing, right? Which is a wrong view, which is an illusion. So it's important that you try to practice mindfulness, be conscious of these things more and more, and see which ones are really under our control. Being mindful will allow you to do this. Being conscious will help you do this. Right? So basically, when it comes to mindfulness practice, we try to be mindful of the five khandhas. Right? It has the bodily part. It says body, feeling, memory, and perceptions. Then think, thoughts and volitions, and consciousness. Right? So these five, we try to be mindful of them. That is the I, or that is the center of this whole universe. So instead of worrying about these things, instead of being unconscious, instead of being ignorance, we try to be more and more conscious, awake about these things, and see mindfully. That's the very idea. For example, let's say the bodily part, the body, it is subjected to aging, illness, and sometimes even certain extreme pains and things like that, right? So the bodily part is subjected to these things. And when it comes to feeling, certain things are pleasurable, certain things are painful, and we keep identifying with these things as pain and pleasure, right? So the feeling part is there. And then the perceptions and memory. When you see some person, you identify them, you memorize them, right? Okay, this person is familiar. Then suddenly it triggers that this is that person who I met a couple of years ago, something like that, right? So you can see this memory part is there, perception part is there. Different, we are identifying, we are perceiving different things, remember different things, those things are there. Then the volitions and thinking, they too are there. We keep on thinking about matters, we start, you know, inner chatter, we storytell certain things, likes and dislikes, we think about them. So that way the mind works. The mind works. Then finally there's this knower. There's this knower of everything, right? The consciousness. So that way these five khandhas are there, and we try to be mindful among all these things. Usually we bring our attention to a bodily feeling, and we try to continue our mindfulness with that sensation or a feeling, right? For example, the breathing in your body, you try to be conscious of your breath. You try to continue with that awareness, with that mindfulness. Try to catch few breath cycles, right? So that way we have to approach this. And when you do this, little by little, when you practice for a while, you realize which things are out of our control, which things are in our control, right? Earlier we thought that we are responsible for everything. Earlier we thought that majority of these things are under our control. But more you practice, more you realize that there are very little that we can control, that you will get to know. Especially, let's say, certain thoughts, for example. There are thoughts that are happening. You really have no control over them. But there are thoughts that thinking thoughts are also there. Right? Two categories. I'm putting them as two categories. Thoughts that are happening and certain like thinking thoughts. Right, so you have to give up your responsibility on the thoughts that are happening. If you try to take responsibility for them, then it's a never-ending, worrying game. Right, so a meditator, not probably initially, when you practice for a while, you realize certain thoughts are there which you have no control over. So if you can't be responsible for them, they happen, they appear due to some causes. They might be past causes, right? But you can't be responsible for them. That the meditator will realize little by little. For example, let's say when you try to do the walking, sitting, there are certain thoughts, repetitive thoughts. They come again and again, right? Maybe lustful thoughts, maybe anger, jealousy. Those type of things come time after time. So you blame these thoughts. You blame yourself, telling that I am meditating and I shouldn't have these thoughts. I shouldn't have lust in my mind while I am meditating. I shouldn't have lust in my mind while I have accepted precepts, right? That way you blame yourself. But basically those things are out of your control. They are the happening thoughts, right? So that you can't really do anything about it. So what you can do is you can be mindful that these thoughts are happening. That's the very idea. Sometimes certain intrusive thoughts they appear. Maybe a thought to harm somebody for no reason. It feels like these intrusive thoughts, vihinsa kind of thoughts, right? So there's this urge to harm somebody. And you know that it is wrong, and you know that you shouldn't have these thoughts. But anyway, it is happening. What can you do? You can simply be mindful that these thoughts are there inside the mind. Right? If you take the responsibility, then that's going to be a whole other matter. Right? So you can see these different categories. Certain thoughts, they might be thinking thoughts. You are energizing them. You are encouraging them. But certain thoughts are there that are happening. Some thoughts, they are in this gray area kind of. It feels like you are also energizing them. It feels like they are happening as well. Right? So what you can do is basically being conscious more and more. Being mindful. And that will allow you to figure out which ones that are under your control, which ones that are out of your control, right? So more you practice, more you realize majority of them are out of our control. That is important. That's why when it comes to family matters, let's say some family problem or dealing with one of the family members' sickness, right, those type of situations, we become emotional. There are so many thoughts in our mind. Our mind is all over the place. So the inner weather has changed. Inner weather is bad. Inner weather is, you know, like a hurricane inside us, right? But you can still be mindful that I am getting these thoughts. I'm feeling sad, right? I feel pain. I feel sad, right? So those type of things, you can basically be aware, be conscious, right? Realize that this is inner weather and currently I have no control over it. It is due to some causes, the inner weather has changed. There's a hurricane inside the mind. Simply being conscious, simply being mindful would be your solution, how you respond to them, right? So that way the meditator realized that majority of things are out of our control and you shouldn't really worry about them. If you start worrying about them, it won't help you. You'll become more and more agitated. And more stressful. And let's say when it comes to our body, sometimes when we walk, we step on an insect or something like that, right? Some people they just basically take the responsibility for them. There are meditators, probably the new people, who come here and they can't even walk. They have accepted these precepts not to kill. And they are saying, when I walk, I might step on these creatures on the ground. I can't do the walking meditation because there are ants in the walking meditation path. Right? So that way, they start worrying about everything. Sometimes they think about the breathing air. There could be creatures that in that air and I might be killing them. The water that they drink. So those are wrong views. If you start worrying about walking on the ground, if you start worrying about breathing, if you start worrying about, you know, drinking the water, then it's a problem. There will always be creatures, right? So you have no intention to kill. So the intention matters. You feel pain in your body and you brush it off. And it turns out there was a mosquito, and you know, it was killed, right? But did you have this intention to kill? You were just probably reacting to the pain. You just brushed it off without even knowing, and later it turns out to be a creature, right? So the meditator, the more they meditate, they realize the fine line between these two. Certain things are intentional, certain things are unintentional. They are just happening things. When you walk, you might step on a creature, but you don't have to worry about it because there is no intention to kill, right? So that way you can realize, even when you talk, when you talk in a rush, probably, when you talk in a rush, you might say something which is not true. And if you start worrying about this statement, saying that, you know, thinking that you lied and it was false speech kind of a thing, right? But basically, you have to reflect and see whether there was this intention to lie, or whether it was just a mistake, a fumble that you made due to a rush, right? So that way, we have to be more and more conscious, be more and more mindful. That very practice will help us, that very practice will tell us which things that we are responsible for, which things that we aren't responsible, right? Certain actions, bodily actions, although they are your bodily actions, you might not be responsible for them. Certain thoughts that happens in your mind, although they are in your mind, that's not your fault or responsibility. Certain words that you say, although they come out of your mouth, you don't have to worry about them. So that way, we try to be more mindful and figure out this fine line between the things that are under our control and the things that are out of our control. And if you can figure these things out, if you can figure out the inside, then the outside will sort out itself. The most important thing is to figure out the inside. Inside, if you figure it out, then outside will sort itself. If we are unconscious, if we are ignorant about the inside, then there is no way that you can sort the outside, right? So you have to keep practicing and make sure that you sort out the inside. If you do that, then the outside will eventually be okay, right? So that's the very approach that we have to take towards these things. If we are not a meditator, then we think that we are responsible for all these matters. We worry about them a lot. But when it comes to the meditation, when you see things clearly, more and more you meditate, more you realize majority of things are out of your control. Right? Majority of fears, they have no reasoning behind them. Majority of thoughts, they are just happening thoughts. Majority of bodily actions, they are simply happening. Your body is programmed. I think recently there was this Satipasala student who participates in our sessions weekly. And he was saying that I can feel a whole lot of bodily things, bodily actions when I walk. So many things are there, so many fine movements are there. And I asked him which things are under your control and which things are just happening. When you do the walking meditation, you might be giving the thought to walk, but most of the things are happening itself. The balancing, it is simply happening. Our body is programmed to do these things, right? We might be controlling the program, but still you can see a whole lot of things are simply happening. Your body is balancing itself. Which parts are touching the ground? Which muscles are used? How to balance between the two legs, right? So that way we can see these things are programmed. Our body is programmed. Our mind is basically programmed. And we have to see the reality. We have to see how many fine movements are there when we walk. How many things are working inside our body when we sit. Our mind situation, the thoughts, the emotions, everything that comes to our mind. Which things are under our control, right? So this way, again and again, we try to be aware. We try to be conscious and observe. That very observation is the only thing that you can do. When it comes to practice, we keep on observing. And when you observe, these things, they reveal themselves. You can see the true nature of these things. You can see which things are under your control, which things are happening, simply happening, right? So when that way, if you keep on observing, what happens when you do it for a while is that your mind naturally stops worrying about certain things that are out of your control. You start to see the reality as it is. And as a result, your mind will be released from this burden. Right? So that's the benefit. That's the benefit. That's the peace that will arise from this practice. Again and again, we keep on observing. Seeing the reality at it as itself. And when you do it for a while, little by little, your mind lets go. It sees the real nature and gradually it is starting to let go. Right? Even, let's say, planning a trip. Earlier, you might be planning a whole lot, wasting so much time. If it is a trip abroad, you might be wasting few weeks trying to plan it perfectly, right? That way we approach, we waste a lot of energy. And during the trip also, you will be worrying about it. And even after return, it might take a couple of days at least to get back to your usual rhythm. So this is the mind that tries to control everything. You can see how the suffering is arisen due to this controlling mind. You suffer before the trip, you suffer during the trip, and you suffer after the trip. Right? So the suffering arises. But let's say if your mind is properly trained, you don't have to worry so much. You might do the arrangements properly, but you are not suffering before the trip. And during the trip, you can really enjoy the trip. There could be some unexpected things and you accept them and simply go with the flow. And even after the trip, you don't have to suffer. Instead, you can continue with your current matters. Right? So that way, you can see how this training can influence you. How this training can help you find peace within, right? And you'll be more energetic, you'll be more energy efficient because you are not wasting energy worrying for no reason. Instead, you channel your energy properly Then that way you could be more efficient, you could be more peaceful in your mind, right? So that way we have to make sure that we are practicing and we are making this change within us. Otherwise, we will always try to control everything. We will always try to conquer everything. And as a result, we will be suffering a whole lot. That's the web that will catch the spider. Today's topic, the continuation topic. Right, so with that, I think I'll stop today's talk. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Bhante. So that concludes our topic for today. And with that, I would like to ask all our listeners if they'd like any other topic being discussed with us. And if they have any suggestions, you can write it on your chat window or write to us at beginnersnv@gmail.com. Any topic that you'd, or even a topic that we have discussed before that you would like to revisit. Please send in your suggestions. So with that, we will move on to our next item in the agenda, and that is the reports presented to Bhante and the Q&A session. For this, we warmly invite Anupama to take over the session.
Thank you, Sonali. I hope you can hear me clearly. Avasarai Bhante. I would like to begin with reading report number one. Can you hear me, Bhante? Yeah.
Sorry, would you like to share the beginner's guide?
Sure, I will do. Yes, I can see it. Is it being shared on the screen, Sonali? Yes, there we go. Okay. I will start off, everyone, by sharing the beginner's guide with you. As you can see, hopefully, in front of you, there is some information with regards to some guidance videos on how to do mindful walking and how to do mindful sitting. It's available on the YouTube channel for you to watch. If you can allocate a small time daily to do these practices of mindful walking and sitting, and continue this for a few days until you reach a total of 2 hours of each practice, then you can move on to writing a reflection report. You can start the reflection report with a question or statement. And if you want, you can put it under various titles and describe what you felt while walking and sitting. For example, you can mention what you recognized when you were in your sitting or walking posture, and any prominent sensations during walking, such as the texture of the ground, any pressure points on the sole, how the body weight shifted from one leg to another, etc. You can do similarly for sitting practice as well. Describe the prominent sensations, including the pressure points where you're sat, and incoming and outgoing breath, movement of the abdomen as you breathe in and out, etc. Once you have written your report, under point number 4, we have provided you the links to the Google form and also the email address. You can use these to send the reports through. So if you continue your mindful practice according to the advice given for your report during the session, you will see much progress. And many of you actually here are familiar with this already have experienced it themselves. Yes, we would encourage you to continue to do so. Now I will move on to the report reading. We've got 2 reports for today, and I hope you can hear me, Bhante. I will start reading report number 1. Mindful walking. Walked indoors. Faster feet movements at the beginning. Slower after a while. Alternate foot pressing against the floor prominent. When movements were too slow, walking got out of balance. Only noted after the speed was naturally adjusted by the walking process. This happened a few times. In those moments, the mind was aware, but noted a feeling of sinking into monotonous rhythm of walking, like a child listening to lullaby at bedtime. Walked for 50 minutes. Mindful sitting. Sat on the cushion. Breath noticed near nostrils. In breath cooler and out breath warmer. Even when breath became subtle, the awareness remained with breath. Thoughts noted passing like clouds in the sky. Slow rhythm of breath, ease in the body, followed by the sense of peace noted. When prominent breath reappeared, the body felt heavier. Attention moved to pressure in contact with cushion. Noted rest of body not having the same pressure. Breath subtle again, then broke up. Pins and needles like pulsating sensations felt in body, but could not say body location. Sat for 55 minutes. Mindfulness during the day. Nearing end of another year, noticing various levels of change in mind. Practice was there a decade ago, but in stop-start manner, not continuous like now. Tendency to start things and giving up halfway was part of personality before. Now, there is lesser impulsivity in starting new things, or if started giving up halfway. Taking a pause to consider external and internal requests is becoming second nature. 3 years of mostly continuous practice and reflections seem to have filtered into other areas, like not saying yes or no to requests without considering these first. Another change is not making approval of others a priority. Peace that arises with this is sometimes enormous, like putting down a heavy bag carried for a long time. Confidence born out of more pauses, slowing down, reflecting has been invaluable. In turn, it helps with both formal and informal practice to continue. Throughout the year, many things were done out of necessity, because of requests, out of obligation, out of facing unexpected events, to name a few. So this year is not dissimilar to others in that sense. Difference is mental attitude in facing these, recovering from dislike, pressure, shock, disappointment, and sadness quicker. Less attachment to when plans change, humor in understanding events and interactions, happiness, lightness, pleasure, calm, also experienced as results of causes, so temporary. Dear Bhante, looking forward to your valuable feedback. Much merit to you. Teruvan Sarana. End of report 1.
Right, so when we walk, when we sit, that way we develop our practice. And initially it feels like you have to do a lot. When you walk, you have to do a lot in order to do the walking meditation. When you sit, it is exhausting, right? So this way we feel. And if you do a few hours of meditation in a day, it feels like you have done heavy duty workout kind of a feeling, right? So that's how the beginners feel. But later, when you practice more and more, you realize simply walking, sitting, this meditation is simply naturalness. You simply enjoy the walking naturalness. You simply sit in a comfortable manner and enjoy that naturalness. In a way, we rock in nature's lullaby. Right? That's the very idea. If we try to control much, if we try to, behave much, that's not the way. Instead, simply appreciating the moment while walking, appreciate the moment while being seated. That's the very idea. We give up control and we rock in nature's lullaby, right? And when you do it, when you develop that proper balance, the meditation becomes really relaxing. You feel more inclined to the practice because you enjoy the relaxation that it gives. You enjoy that naturalness in the walking and sitting. You enjoy undoing in the meditation, right? So that's the very approach. That's why you feel that rocking kind of feeling in that walking sensations. You rock in nature's lullaby. You do that practice again and again, right? Every day, sometime, you reserve, and you do that practice. That way, when you approach this, with time, you can see the impact of this practice. Short term, you feel the peace within. You feel that comfortable relaxation in the meditation. But when you do it for a longer period, then only you see the real benefits that it carries. You can see how your life is changing for the better, how the stress levels are reducing, how you stop worrying about unnecessary things, how you stop expecting other people's approval, right? All those changes come. So thank you for listing down the positives that you are experiencing through the practice. After many years of practice, this is the change that has happened, and this is how it has changed your life for the better, right? And we don't become rigid, kind of. We become more and more flexible to the situations. We accept other people as they are, right? Some people, if you try to change them, then that's a never-ending struggle. We become more and more flexible. We become more and more accepting of the situations, right? You stop injecting your opinions. You simply go with their attitude. You simply go with their views, and there's no struggle. There's no fight, right? That type of a flexibility is important to live a peaceful life. Otherwise, you can start fighting with everybody, and it's a never-ending process, right? Some people think that it's not good to, go with the flow. It feels like we are deceiving others. But that's not our intention, right? We simply go with it. We don't try to influence others. We don't try to, get approval from them. We don't try to inject our views. Instead, simply, we go with the flow. They say this is good, or we might agree, and we just go along. They say this is bad, we might agree, and we just go along, right? Because we are more concerned, we are more focused on the peace within. You don't have to fight these situations. There is no point of fighting these situations, right? So that way, when you change your attitude, that way when the practice influence your life, you become much more energy efficient. You realize you can really focus on the real matters. And when you focus and you do a good job, again, you are comfortable in your mind's peace. Again, you focus and do something, right? So that way, we are more focused on the peace within, and we continue with our life. We do the responsibilities that are there. We go to work, we do our part, but there is no anxiety. There's no never-ending worrying. Much peace is there inside the mind. That's the very idea. So try to continue and you'll get these benefits more and more.
Thank you, Bhante. I will now move on to report number 2. Walking meditation. Walked on tile floor, observing sensations on feet and legs. Noted warmth of the floor, hardness on heel, softer sensation on toes and midfoot. The pace changed slowly down to note lifting, moving, placing. Thoughts with some proliferation, distracting for short periods. Itching like insect bite noted on right foot, but mind knowing it would pass. Continued to walk, and as expected, it passed after a sensation of that part of foot expanding in size. Other discomforting back, legs, other foot, but all passed with no proliferation regarding them. Walked 1 hour. Sitting meditation. Sat symmetrical on a chair, balancing body with toes bent under forefoot to ease a discomfort. In back, rather than placing feet flat on the ground. Primary object, watching breath. Initially noted the electric shocks and little oscillations throughout the body, most prominent on head, face, hands and feet. In and out breaths noted, but mind went to discomfort in back, which changed in severity and the place in which it was felt. Mind spontaneously went from breaths to discomfort. Phone rang after 45 minutes and stopped meditation. Daily mindfulness. Since last week, have a backache, which has been a great opportunity to reflect on nature of non-self. As usually, very physically active, but now there is slowing down of movements due to pain. Was due to do several long drives, and despite not being sure this was possible, managed them without too much trouble. Have decided to watch how nature and time will change the course of symptoms. No pain relief taken, and noted improvement in symptoms after a few days. Mind was calm through most of the week, but slight disappointment noted when pain increased for a day. However, knowing this too would pass, mind calm again, and symptoms continue to improve. With much gratitude, Bhante and organizers. End of report number 2.
We are happy to hear that you are spending almost like 2 hours doing walking and sitting meditation daily. That's a great investment that you can do. Most people, they don't value this investment, especially short term, they can't really see any value. But when you do it, when you continue it for a few months, then you can really see the return of this investment, and it's the greatest investment that you can do. There's no other greater investment. Nothing, no other thing will give this much return, right? So we are happy that you can do a couple of hours of walking and sitting meditation daily, and that matters a lot. Try to continue with that for few months, few years, and see how it is helping you. And as you can see, these daily activities also, sometimes we get sick, sometimes we get into accidents, sometimes we get into troubles. So when such things happen, the mindfulness can really benefit us. Not only when you are healthy, not only the before accident, but even after getting into an accident, if you are mindful, that will help you. If you are sick in your body, being mindful is the best medicine that you can give your body. Of course, you can do the other support, support it with the medicine and stuff. But being mindful, it will create the healing process much faster, right? So that way we can continue being aware of our situation, and according to our bodily strength, according to the pain levels, you can see which things that you can manage, which things are impossible, which things that you can do it later, right? So that way, gradually you keep on working. Gradually you become better. That very awareness will tell you, bodily awareness. Let's say if you are mindful of your body, you can see the body will give you the information regarding its status. Sometimes the body will tell you that it is too tired to continue. It's time for a break. The neck pains, back pains, a burn in eyes, those things will tell you, right? If you know the art of listening to them. And sometimes your body will tell you that you need exercise. That too you can feel in your body. Sometimes your body will tell you that you are getting sick. You better do something about it, right? So that way we can really observe, and most of the things we can tackle it as a preventive measure, right? If you do exercising, then that will help you to prevent. That very awareness is helpful, right? It can help you with lot of things. Listening to your body, we say, being more conscious, listening to your mind, right? So that way, we little by little continue with our practice, and this practice can influence our lives a lot. When you do it for a long period, then only you realize it. You realize how your life is changing for the better, right? So it's a good investment. Try to continue. And after a while, let us know the progress.
Thank you, Bhante, very much for the advice on the reports. We always find it useful. So thank you for those who shared their reports as well. Much merit to you all. It's now time to move on to our Q&A session. If anybody has any questions or comments, please raise your Zoom hand and we will invite you to unmute yourself. Rajika, you've got your hand raised. Would you like to unmute yourself, please, and ask or make your comment? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Anupama, for the opportunity. I don't know if it's a question or a comment. I guess we can take it as a comment. I don't know how to explain it, but I'll try my best. When during the talk, I think I heard that Bhante said something about thoughts come unintentionally. And like we can just observe that. I understand that. But recently, what I was listening to a lot of neuroscience podcasts. And then one thing I learned is our thought patterns, like it's kind of the habits, like, and we actually we can change that pattern. Like it just, I have so many times I heard happiness is a choice, and I was keep telling others as well, but I never actually practiced that. Recently only I realized that once I learned about this neuroscience through those neuroscience podcasts. I have a habit, actually. I have a habit. I think all of the venerables knows that, because listening to all my kamatahan, like I have that habit of mingling with the negative thoughts. You know, different people, I guess different people have different thought patterns. That's kind of my thought pattern. If something like, suppose I have 10 things happen and 9 things goes right, but if one thing goes wrong, I have a habit that I must keep thinking of that and creating more negative thoughts on that. Even though I have 9 things positive happening, I didn't have that practice to look at that and be happy. I just always keep worrying. So definitely I understand that pattern through mindfulness. No doubt about that. If I didn't practice mindfulness, I never knew I had such pattern or such habit. But I don't know, it's automatically changing part. I'm a bit curious because once I learned this, I started to listen to this podcast, then I used some other strategies with those strategies, I was able to kind of, I'm in the process of changing my thought pattern. Like I can realize that I'm not mingling the same negative thoughts as much as I have done before. Like if someone did something bad to me, I can keep worrying for the months and years, but I'm not doing that anymore. I can kind of stop that and move to another thought. It's always I'm not 100% sure it's just the mindfulness, but I use the other practices as well, like, you know, the gratitude and the self-talk affirmation. I don't know what works, but I just wanted to share that the experience with you, Bhante. Obviously, mindfulness helped me for a lot to come to this stage, and it will help me for the rest of my life as well. But I thought of sharing that experience because it was kind of connected to today's topic. I really appreciate, Bhante, your advice or any further guidance on my practice. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks for sharing. Now, as you said, like out of 10, 9 things worked out properly, but you tend to focus on the one thing that went wrong, right? So those behaviors are there, like avoid the entire flower garden and focus on shit, right? That happens. What can you do, right? We are who we are. So basically it's our unique nature. Right, so that's the starting point of our practice. You can't reject your nature. You have to accept that this is me, this is my unique nature. With that acceptance, we work towards betterment. That's the very idea. So when it comes to your researchers and things like that, those neuroplasticity or other things, they work. But the choice is in the present moment. That's the idea. There could be past causes. It says that past causes are there for the present moment, right? And in the present moment, we are creating the future. So the choice is in the present moment. That's the choice that you have, right? Even when it comes like, you know, counseling and things like that, they usually tend to dig into the history. They try to analyze different situations, different incidents, and it takes a whole lot of time, and sometimes it doesn't work even. But when it comes to mindfulness practice, we don't try to, you know, dig up dead bodies. Instead, what we do is we try to accept the present as it is. There could be past causes to the present situation, right? That with that acceptance, we continue with our practice. So the mindfulness, if you unconditionally accept the situation of your mind, let it be physical pain, let it be mental turmoils and emotional pain, things like that, whatever it is, they could have past causes. But in the name of the practice, in the sake of the practice, we simply accept it and simply continue with our mindfulness. And you can find certain ways to, you know, respond and, you know, gratitude and things like that, glad game. All those things are helpful. But what I'm trying to say is your choice is in the present moment, not in the past, right? So exercise that choice. That is the very idea. And little by little, we move towards the betterment. We have to accept our current situation. That is the starting point. That's where we have to start. And little by little, the practice works. That's the idea. So neuroplasticity, that's the idea. The choice is in the present moment, not in the past, not in the future. It's in the present moment. Every moment we are making choices. In your mind, probably in your body, even verbally, we are making choices. So little by little, we try to be more and more mindful and create better courses for the future. That's the very idea. Thanks for sharing and continuancy.
Thank you very much, Bhante, for your guidance. Much merit.
Thank you, Bhante, and thank you, Rajika, for sharing that. Obviously, there is a lot of information there, very useful for all of us. Any other questions or comments from the audience? Please raise your Zoom hand. Samantha, I think you are muted. Do you have something to say?
Oh, no, just quickly. I know the time is up as well. Just to say it was just an amazing session today.
Mm-hmm.
It was so valuable and I learned a lot. And the things that really stood out was intention, awareness, the knower, those sort of words really important that I'm going to take home and be obviously mindfulness, which Bhante and Misarana is always, I know the penny slowly dropping what exactly that means. Everyone says mindfulness, mindfulness. And I never really, okay, I'll be mindful, you know, of everything. But now I'm actually beginning to understand mindfulness with wisdom and how to use that to be in the present moment, as Bhante said, that I can actually, that's important to respond rather than react, which I've been doing. You know, so that's really valuable. Thank you, Bhante, for highlighting all that. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Thank you.
Thank you, Samantha.
You're welcome, Samantha. As you said, you have to practice and get to know the mindfulness. You can't simply get to know mindfulness by listening to somebody or reading about it. That's not the way. Basically, practice is the way to, you know, understand mindfulness. Little by little, you don't have a rush. Little by little, we practice, and with the practice, we get to understand more and more. I think
Thank
a couple
you.
Of weeks ago, there was this visit from some faculty or something. They were doing what do you call a diploma on mindfulness, and they visited Nisaravanaya for a practical session. Day out, right? So when we started, they couldn't sit on the comfortable chairs. They couldn't wear slippers or shoes, right? So at the gate, they had to leave the slippers, shoes, and in the meditation hall, there were only like, you know, cushions, right? So that's how they started. And that's that when it comes to real practice, when it comes to, you know, practicing it, it's not so easy. They had to get to the ground and somehow maintain their postures, right? So little by little, I can see the expressions are changing. They were comfortable for a little while. And after being seated on the ground on a cushion, their attitude changes. The pains come, difficulties come. Some people, they can't walk without shoes, slippers, right? So that's the practice. It's like, you know, doing a distant course on swimming versus actually swimming, right? So you can learn about swimming. But when you get into water only, you get to know how difficult it would be and, you know, how to somehow afloat and continue the swimming, right? So that change is there. So that's why it's important to understand or experience through the practice. Through the practice, you have to do it. You can learn about a lot, but it won't help you that much. Get the little information that are in the basic instructions, and every day, a few minutes, 20, 30 minutes of sitting and walking, that approach would be the best to get to know mindfulness. We are happy that you are making progress.
Thank you, Bhante. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. That's really encouraging. And I have been actually starting to focus practice. And focusing on the breath, especially during this, you know, turmoil times, is really calming. And that report someone said today about 2 hours practice is very inspiring, and it's really given me the motivation to do. Thank you, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you, Samantha. Thank you, Bhante, for those encouraging words. I think we may have come to the end of our session, unless someone has any last-minute comments to make. Yes, Bandula, if you unmute yourself and quickly make your comment, please, before we conclude the session.
Thank you, Bhante. And I like that today's the exercise, we did it. It's very, very useful, Bhante. I like to listen, get advice actually. So talk about the exercise. I know there are thoughts you mentioned. There are simply just the thoughts. There are some mild, light thoughts. There are heavy. It's like emotions. So Bhante, is it same rule applies to the everything, or you had to deal with different thoughts differently? Say, for example, I have a big craving for sugar, you know, like sugary drinks. So I got to know that I shouldn't have that much sugar, you know, like glucose level goes up. But once I drank or I had the sugary food, after that I found it, oh, I ate that. So what's the thought of your advice to that sort of situation, Bhante? Thank you.
Yeah, I think usually what happens is that our cravings are stronger than the mindfulness. But when we practice little by little, sometimes they become like neck-to-neck kind of a fight, right? And one day the mindfulness would be stronger, right? So that change has to happen. Usually, initially, the cravings, they are stronger. That's why you realize afterwards, you know, at least you have practiced, and that's why you realize afterwards. Some people, they just don't even realize. Even afterwards, they don't realize, right? So little by little, we are getting there. And when there's a neck-to-neck kind of a fight, sometimes your cravings win. Sometimes the mindfulness wins, right? And one day the mindfulness will grow stronger. Right, so you have to support it again and again. Mindfulness is a more like a shy quality in your mind. Right, it won't take control as soon as you try to give it control. That's not how it works. Instead, you have to again and again encourage. Right, encourage the quality of mindfulness. Do your part. Do your practice. Little by little. The mindfulness will get its roots and properly grow. And one day when it gets strong, then it won't, it can challenge anything in your life, right? That type of a quality the mindfulness is. Earlier, it's more like a shy quality. The mindfulness, but little by little, when you encourage for a long period and when you support the practice for a long period, at after some time you realize now the mindfulness is strong and it can deal with any of the cravings, any of the difficulties that we have in our life. So that approach, we are in the process, you have to support it more and more, and one day it will be stronger.
Thank you, Bhante. With that, I think we will conclude the session for today. Thank you very much to everyone who attended, those who presented reports, and the organizers behind the scenes, Venerable Dhamma Kusala, and of course, the most venerable Udayi Dhamma Dhammajiva Swami Mahanse, who is instrumental in initiating these mindfulness programs. Have a good week, everyone. Mindful week, and hopefully see you again. Thank you very much.